Good to see you. Just sort myself out here. Okay. Hands up if you have an etch-a-sketch, or do you know what an etch-a-sketch is? I can't even say it. Do anyone have an etch-a-sketch at home? Oh, no. Dear. Does anybody know what an etch-a-sketch is? Yes. Some people kind of nearer my age do. Okay. An etch-a-sketch. You know, it's one of these things. You know, when you twiddle the knobs and you draw a picture, they still have them, don't they? They still do. It's amazing the pictures some people have produced on these etch-a-sketches. And then, you know, you can shake it or slide a thing across and it all disappears, doesn't it? Well, you know, they're an amazing thing. But imagine that I had drawn this wonderful picture. I didn't actually draw that picture. I was reliant on my daughter for that. But here we go. This is, I think, well, you know, that's great. That's great. I'm just going to, you know, it's fine, isn't it? But I just want to, you know, just make it a bit better. So I'm just going to make it a bit better. I better not have red. I better have black, haven't I? So I'm just, you know, those nose is a bit small, isn't it? So I'm just going to kind of try and do his nose. Okay. What's that? Okay. His nose. And I think, well, he's got to have more manly eyebrows. I think he's got to have something like that. Oh, dear. Oops. And his smile is a bit big. I know no man that smiles that much. So I'm going to kind of give him a mustache. And, oh. And there's something missing. Some ears. He's not got any ears, has he? So I'm going to do some ears. Okay. All right. What do you think? Is that much better? Is it much worse?
Yes.
Have I spoilt it?
Yes.
I've spoilt it, haven't I? If this was an etch-a-sketch, okay, how could every time I tried to make it better, I'd make it worse, wouldn't I? Because I spoilt it, and there's only one thing to do with an etch-a-sketch, isn't it? I'd have to shake it and start again. If this were an etch-a-sketch, I'd have spoilt it for good, because I tried to improve it, and I'd have to wipe it clean. And the picture is destroyed. Or, you know, imagine that you get a wonderful new computer. A wonderful new computer. Imagine you get this wonderful... And you know, when you get a new computer, it's amazing. The first time you start it up, everything boots up so quickly. And you try, you know, you do operations on it. And it's so smooth and it goes so quick. And then, of course, over the weeks and the months... You download stuff and you pick up stuff unwittingly. You get little glitches, little bugs in it. And what happens? It slows down over the years. It slows down. It stops working properly. Some things don't work very well. And, you know, there are things you can do to tidy them up and clean them up a bit. But ultimately, once it starts going down that way, often, sometimes the only thing you can do is to wipe it clean and start again. Well, that's all a bit dramatic. The trouble is with that, of course, is that you can lose some of your files, some of your settings, and all the rest of it. And so that's not such good news. Let's hear a story Jesus told once. It's found in Matthew chapter 13. Verse 24, this is what Jesus said, page 979 of the Church Bibles. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked him, Do you want us to go and pull them up? No, he answered, because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. And then a bit later, a few verses later, he explains that parable. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. This is verse 36. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. It means Jesus. He's talking about himself. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear. It's an amazing story of this field, which has good seed sown in it. And then somebody comes along and sows weeds, and they grow up together. And the helpers say, well, shan't we go and get rid of all the weeds? And the boss says, no, because if you do that, you'll get rid of the good stuff as well. You'll get rid of the wheat as well. So leave it. We'll leave it to the end. We'll get it all up together. We'll sort it out. And the weeds will go on the fire. That's the story. And he says, this is like God's kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like this. There are two things I want to say about this parable that Jesus told. Firstly, it gives a very helpful and true picture of the way the world is. This is a wonderful description of the way the world is. This is exactly like the world is. It says the kingdom of heaven is like this. You know, a kingdom is where the king reigns, isn't it? Anywhere where the king reigns, where people accept that he's the king and do what he says, that's the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is where King Jesus reigns. And what this parable tells us is that in our world, there are many places where Jesus is accepted as king, but there are lots of places and lots of people who don't accept him as king as well. And this is a wonderful picture of the world. You know, the world is a wonderful place. We're celebrating many of the gifts today that God has given us. God's good creations, full of wonderful things. Human beings are wonderful creatures. Look at all the things we can do as human beings. What are some of the things that you're amazed at that we've done or can do as human beings? Just tell me, what are the things that amaze you? Adults and children, let's call out. That we can sing. Some of you can sing. That's amazing. Yeah. And one day I'll be able to too. Hallelujah. Yeah. Anything else? We can remember things from ages ago. Yes. Baseball. Play sport. Yeah, that is amazing, isn't it? That's really amazing. I really appreciate that one.
Build computers.
Yeah. Yeah. One's even more complicated than that Commodore PET or whatever it was. Steve?
Feel.
Yeah, that's incredible. We've got so much sensitivity in our fingers. Oh, dear. It's not in our feet. We can, we can just... Awareness. Yeah. But we're amazing. We've sent men to the moon. We can cure diseases. We can do intricate brain surgery. It's incredible the things we're capable of. But you know, as we look around the world, we see all that. But that's not the whole picture, is it? Because we see so many things that spoil this world too. We see hunger, we see strife, we see war, we see greed, we see people hating each other, we see theft, we see some horrible things as well. And that world, you see, our world, it's got good things growing. It's got bad things growing as well. It is just like that field in the story. And actually, if we're honest, we see exactly that same mix in our own lives too, don't we? each of us. That we're all capable of doing amazing things, but those good things are mixed with the bad things. And the truth is, if we're really honest, that there's a lot more bad than good. But this is the world Jesus describes in this story. Good seed has been sown, the good things of God's kingdom, but alongside is evil. Good and evil nestling together. Now, I do not think that there is a better description of the world than that. You know, some people believe that the world we all started, life started in this kind of primeval slime, and we're evolving, we're getting better and better, we're getting more moral, we're getting more humane, we'll be treating each other better. And so the bad things, if you like, belong to an age that we're leaving behind as we grow up. But I don't think that's a very good description of the world at all. Because the last 100 years, have they really been any better? Think of the millions killed in warfare and strife and oppression in the 20th century alone. It's horrendous. We're not getting any better. This is the way the world is, just as Jesus described it. Look at how people treat each other today. We're not getting better. There has always been good, and evil has grown up together in the world, just like the field in Jesus' story. And some people say, well, if God is so good and loving, why are there evil things in the world? Why are there things like that? You know this man, some of the adults will know this man, the one on the right. Well, you know the one on the left as well, don't you? He's been in all the adverts. David Attenborough, he's made wonderful nature programs about the natural world. And he is often asked, because he's an atheist, and he doesn't believe in God. And he's asked, how can you not believe in God? You see the world in all its beauty and all the patterns and all the intricate detail. How can you not believe in God? Ah, well, he says, I also see, for instance, this one species of tiny worm that the only way it can make its living is to burrow into the eyeballs of young children and make them blind. How can I believe in a good God who created a worm to do that? It's a good point, isn't it? It's a good point. But you see, this story gives a reason for that. It says that the bad things in the world weren't there in the beginning. An enemy sowed the seed, the bad seed. The enemy, God's enemy, the devil, sowed the seed of evil. He got human beings to start ignoring God. And the Bible says from that moment, it wasn't just human beings that were affected. It was the whole of creation that was affected. Now, I don't know what the purpose of that particular worm was before the fall. But the Bible would lead us to believe that it's because of the fall that that worm now has to get its living by causing suffering in that way. And so there's an answer to that question in this story that Jesus tells, which is a good one. You know, the world is not how God intended it to be. It's not how he first made it to be. If you were here on Thursday night, it was a wonderful night with Krish Kandir. And if you weren't able to get it, do listen to the recording on our website, because it was really very excellent. And Krish addressed this point far better than I'm doing this morning. He said, if you were to call round at my house immediately after someone had been in and burgled it, come in and, you know, turned over all the furniture and gone through the drawers and smeared stuff on the walls and all the rest of it, if you were to come round my house at that point and say, well, you know, not really sure I like what you've done with the place, that would be a little unfair, wouldn't it? Because something else has been introduced. And this is like the world. It's not fair of us to say to God, look, how can you be a loving God if the world is like this? Because it's what's been introduced into the world by the enemy, by the evil one, acting with our selfishness to cause those things. And then many people look at the world, you see, and they say, well, why doesn't God sort it out? Okay, it wasn't like that to start with, but why doesn't God sort it out right now? If he's so powerful, if he's loving, if he's good, why doesn't he get rid of all the evil in the world? It's exactly what the servants say in the parable, isn't it? Verse 28. Do you want us to go and pull up these weeds? And The master says, no, it's too complicated to do that. It's like the Etch-a-Sketch picture. If I continue to fiddle with it, I started to fiddle with it and I spoilt it. So the master says, we'll wait until the harvest and then everything will be sorted out. Because the truth is, if he tried to sort out everything now, we'd all end up on the bonfire. We'd all end up on the bonfire. Because it's not just the world that is a mixture of bad and good. Each of our lives is too. And the truth is, there's far more bad than good. That's how the world is. Good and bad growing together. It's a true picture. Mark.
Right. Graham's going to have to speak.
So this parable is an excellent picture of the way the world is today. The second thing I want to say about it is that it tells us that although the world is like that today, one day God will judge the world. God will sort it out. You know, this is about the kingdom of heaven. It's about the king and the coming king, Jesus, who was raised, the first fruits, as we've heard. He's raised, and as Paul says in Acts, that the fact that he's been raised is proof that one day he will judge the world. We don't like to talk about that, but the Bible talks about it, and it's important that it does. But for us, it's important because, you see, we can think, well, why hasn't God sorted it out yet? Well, just because he hasn't acted to sort it all out finally yet doesn't mean he won't. He's being patient with us, the Bible tells us. He's giving us time. Time to turn to him. Time to put away, turn away from our selfish life lived for our own ends and to turn to him. Turn to Jesus and follow him. You know, the world scoffs at this. The world pours scorn. It says, 2,000 years we've been waiting. He's not going to come. He'd have come by now. We'll carry on doing whatever we like, thanks very much, because clearly Jesus isn't going to come back. You know, people have said he's going to come back at various times, and they've all been wrong. Well, they have, it's true. But they scoff. Friends, it is not wise to scoff at God's patience, is it? It's not wise to scoff when God is being patient and giving us time to turn to him, to repent, as the Bible says. We shy away from talking about judgment. But isn't it here? Here, the picture, the judgment, it's the picture of harvest that is used to talk about judgment. And harvest is a good thing. It's a good time. It's great to bring in the crops. And Jesus is using a picture of harvest because judgment is a good thing too. Judgment is a good thing. And you may not think it, but actually you believe it's a good thing too. You really do. Because unless there is judgment, the weeds win. Unless there is judgment, evil triumphs and God's good field ends up choked and spoilt. God has to judge or evil wins the day. You know, just a few weeks before this man died, Adolf Hitler, he said to this other guy, Albert Speer, he said this. He said, it will be easy to end my life. A brief moment and I am freed from everything. Released from this miserable existence. Now, when we think of all the evil that Hitler did and was responsible for, if that were true, that after his death he's just freed and everything will be fine, that would be horrendous, wouldn't it? That would be horrible to think that he isn't accountable beyond this life for what he's done. What about justice? What about justice? Sadly, we've heard a lot about this man this week. A little too much about this man. And yeah, I have to say, allegedly, don't I? If the allegations are true about this man, then he's got away with stuff simply because of being famous and powerful. And now he's dead and he can't answer. Well, if he is guilty, and if that is true, that's terrible. But no, says God's word. It's not true. He will answer the charges. God will judge. And so God's judgment is a good thing. It is a good thing because otherwise evil wins. And none of us want that. One day all wrongs will be acknowledged and put right. The kingdom is about the king. Jesus the king rules in justice. And he comes and he can be trusted with power. You know, in the next little bit of the Bible, Jesus goes on to give the parable about the pearl of great price. The kingdom of heaven is a pearl of great price. It's like a treasure buried in a field that you'll give up everything to get because the kingdom is worth having. The kingdom is a good thing. And when Jesus comes and finally brings in his kingdom once and for all, that is good news because Jesus will be here and reigning. It's good news. Judgment is good news. It's a good thing. One day all those things will be put right. You know, if you've been wronged in your lifetime, you need to hear that. God cares. He will judge. It's good news. But it's also awful news, isn't it? Because how will we survive? How will I survive? None of us is good. We all fall short of giving God the glory he created us to give. You know, the parable says, at the end, all the weeds are picked up and put in the fire. This is a picture of hell, isn't it? We don't like to talk about hell. And we shy from it. But Jesus talks about hell. And so we have to talk about hell. Because hell is real. What is hell? Hell is what you get when you reject the king and his kingdom. If you say, oh, this talk about the kingdom of God is great, but I don't want Jesus ruling over me, you're saying, I don't want his kingdom, I want the alternative. And what is the alternative? The alternative is the place where none of Jesus' goodness and mercy and justice and love is present. Because you've said, I don't want that. And that place is indescribably grim. And it's right, isn't it, that we don't talk about it without a tear in our eye. Because it's a horrible place. It's where we end up when we say we don't want God. And it's when we get the outcome of our heart's desire, isn't it? We don't want God, well, we'll get it. Without any of God's goodness and mercy to restrain evil. Just the worst consequences of our foolishness and bad decisions and sinful, greedy, evil hearts. And it's God's active punishment to allow us to receive that. Judgment is good news, but it's also bad news. Because how can we survive? Well, that's why Jesus came, of course. This is, the kingdom is about the king. And the king came to put that right. You know, the parable talked about the wheat being sown and the tares being sown, the weeds being sown. But the good news actually is that Jesus can turn weeds into wheat. He can take our lives when we turn to him because he's died for us, because he's broken the power of sin in our lives. When we turn to him, he can turn us into wheat and he can produce a harvest in our lives, which is an amazing thing. And he sows the good seed of his life, his resurrection life, of which he's the first fruits. But to receive that seed, we have to put our trust in him, not in our own goodness. But in him, we have to follow him. We have to die to our old way of living without him. And he will raise us up to new life, just as he's been raised. Friends, I hope that's true of you. I hope that's true of you. That your trust is in Jesus. Not in your own goodness, but in Jesus. And you're looking to him for the harvest in your life. And if it's not true of you, then I challenge you to do something about it. Come along to Christianity Explored on Thursday night. This Thursday, starting here in this building. Or come and talk to us. You don't have to wait till Thursday night. You can declare Jesus as your king right here today. Because his kingdom is worth having. Just one more thing about the parable as we close that we should note. You know, the servants want to go out and pull up all the weeds. And the master says, no, because you'll pull up the good with the bad. The weeds Jesus is talking about is probably something called bearded darnel, which is pretty much indistinguishable from wheat. It looks very similar. Certainly at the early stages, and even when the ears start to grow, they're pretty similar. And the point is, they can't tell the difference. The servants, they can't tell. They'd pull up the wrong thing. And so Jesus says, no, the master says, no, let's leave it till the end. And the point is this. Only God can judge. It's God's job to judge, not ours. If it were left to us, we'd make a mess of it. We'd judge wrongly. We'd pull up the wrong thing. We think we can tell bad from good, but we can't. Not really. We can't see into people's hearts. We can't judge motives. But God can. One theologian said this, God is more merciful than we, more strict than we. He's holier than we are. And he's more knowing than we. And in every case, God is greater than our hearts. He can be trusted to judge. We can't. God's word declares that all who put their trust in Jesus will receive his life. They get what they've chosen to enjoy. Eternity with God and all his goodness. But we can't ourselves judge from the outside who is trusting in Jesus. I can't tell whether you are. Not from here. We can't rate people. We can't say this one's better than that. We have to leave it to God. And in the meantime, we have to learn to live in this mixed up, confused world where the wheat and the weeds grow up together and often we can't tell the difference. We have to trust that one day he'll sort it out. We just have to live with that. And that means also we have to be very wary about taking the law into our own hands. I have a tendency to do this when I'm driving and I see someone using their mobile phone. I like to, you know, draw their attention to this in a way that gets my wife's attention in a rather negative manner. I can't police them, can I? I can't. Drives me up the wall. It's so dangerous, don't you? Yeah, but I can't police them, can I? I have to leave it to someone else to do that. And there's so many things in life like that. Where we have to live in a mixed up world and we do so trusting that one day we trust the judge who judges justly. He will sort it out one day. You know, when we see evil happen, it upsets us, it gets us angry. But we cannot right the wrongs ourselves now. We have to leave it to God. Because one day he will sort it out. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus the King is reigning now and one day his reign will be full. He'll come back and every knee will bow before him. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We thank you for that. Father, I want to pray that everyone here this morning will now be confessing that Jesus is Lord. Will now be bowing the knee to the King. That no one here will leave it too late. But Father, give us wisdom as we live in this mixed up world where we see goodness and we suffer sorrow and bad things too. Help us not to doubt your goodness in all of that and help us to live faithfully even when we can't sort out the evil ourselves. Amen.